This evening's holy hour, we are praying for and remembering in light of the baptism of the Lord last Sunday, those who are baptized in the hospitals, those who have baptisms near death, whether they are adults or infants, or perhaps infants who are very precarious in their health, and maybe the neonatal intensive care unit or the pediatric unit. We baptize people who convert. We call them deathbed conversions. All the priests here, we've all had those encounters in God's mysterious way. Maybe any of you who may be a former RN might have baptized a child or been with other nurses who have in the danger of death, because we believe that anyone can baptize in danger of death. I've shared many a story of baptisms here from the pulpit that have occurred across the street. One that happened not too long ago, before the pandemic, was that maybe the fall of 2019. I was just rounding in the evening it was late at night actually. At the intensive care unit at Sloan Kettering. And the nurse said to me, bed two, could you go say a prayer for them, Father? Could you go be with them? His time is soon. They were not Catholic. They were not on the Catholic list. So I went into the room, and it was the gentleman's wife and also himself. He was intubated, and he was in a coma, basically. And I'd said a prayer, and I said to the wife, what denomination is your family? And I'm a priest. I'm a Roman Catholic priest. And the wife said to me, I think his mother is Episcopalian, but we also kind of went to this church and that church, different forms of Protestantism. And I said, oh, okay. He may have even said Baptist, I think, at the end. And I said, do you know if your husband was ever baptized? And she said, I don't know. Let me call his mother. So this gentleman's mother was still alive. She must have been in her 80s, I'd imagine. So the wife is on the phone with her mother-in-law and asks the question, was your son ever baptized? To which the mother said no. Now the mother herself, these were all Christian people in essence, or in fact, but that he had been meaning to do it or he hadn't ever gotten around to it. I don't know the specifics. I don't know why. I really had nothing on me per se that the priest normally would have as someone is going to be baptized in the hospital setting, especially if they're going to be received into the church, the Catholic Church, where they want to become Catholic. We would normally have the oil for confirmation, the chrism. We would have the baptismal rite book. We would have a few other items with us normally. So since time was of the essence and it was late, and it wasn't me cutting corners because I used the proper matter and form, water in the proper words, I said, well, I'll just kind of get a cup of water and do it Mother Teresa style. That story's for another time. You can read in her biographies. And I'm just going to baptize this guy because why not? He's not going to make the night. So I went over to the fountain with a paper cup and poured the water in, blessed the water. And I went over and I proceeded to baptize the gentleman in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I baptize you. Just as if I had been a nurse on call then. I wasn't going to necessarily run and go get the chrism to confirm him, even though that is a sacrament. The priest has the authority to do that. That would have been a little more complicated catechesis. I could have done that without the family not knowing about it. But listen, he's going to die any moment. Let's just get him ready for Jesus. And so interestingly enough, that was probably one of the most simple baptisms I've ever had in the hospital setting. And why and how it all came together was simply a nurse saying, Father, could you go check in on this person? Okay, out of the kindness of my heart and being clergy on the floor at 12:30 a.m., of Of course I'll go in. And then you think about from all time and space, God knew that would be the moment for this gentleman's adoption. Because that's what we learned, you know, in our catechesis classes and what we were reminded of last Sunday with the baptism of the Lord, that we're adopted. You know, this is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased, as God the Father said. And this gentleman had an intention, a baptism of desire, I take it. So I wasn't thinking that we were going to be baptizing him against his will, you know, as an adult, even though he couldn't speak for himself at that moment, almost like a baby, that the desire became the actuality, the reality of the sacrament, that the simplicity of what Christ gave us in this adoption, water, a simple form, and the fact that anyone can baptize, doesn't have to be clergy, in danger of death, that is, that this man would have that adoption fulfilled. For all we knew, in his heart as he got sicker and sicker, but maybe he didn't express it to his family, that he wanted to have the baptism. Maybe he didn't know how to go about it. Maybe it was too late. Who knows what went through his mind? But the desire of his heart, and the desire of his families, frankly, at that moment too, because they were very grateful. They communicated afterwards how grateful they were for the baptism. That moment, the actuality of his baptism, the sacrament itself, the wiping of all his history of sin, whatever it was, known to God alone, given the newness of soul as a newly baptized baby, yet an adult, now in a coma, now facing death. Yet God wanted to fulfill that desire in his heart. Because if we look to St. Peter tonight, there is a genuineness, he says, that leads us to praise, glory, and honor. And this man did have a faith, obviously, from the family, a desire of faith in his heart, and the actuality then would come at that moment of baptism when we believe faith, hope, and love are imprinted on the soul by God, as we call them, the theological virtues. But this man, an hour or so or two away from his death, I think his mother came in later that night too, now that I'm thinking back. I think she showed up at 3 a.m. and he passed around 4. I do eventually go to bed at some time. That it says here, Peter reminds us, you may have to suffer for a time the distress of many trials. We all know cancer, any kind of hospitalization, any kind of infancy sickness and difficulty and risk of premature birth and all those things. Those are trials, if there's ever trials. And they're known well in this neighborhood. They're known well amongst you and your family, friends, all of us. Distress, the suffering. But St. Peter reminds us there's cause for rejoicing. There's cause for rejoicing. That gift of even in the moment of near death and near the end of life or the precariousness of a newborn, that we can still rejoice amid suffering. The ultimate paradox. It's like the good thief. His baptism by desire right there, this day you will be with me in paradise. Right there in that moment, as his legs will be broken a little later and he'll die after Jesus on that cross. Yet his baptism right there on Calvary, right next to Jesus's. And the baptisms that have happened on the floors of these institutions, of this neighborhood for the last century, that the friars have been a part of, or the medical community who were moved by grace and responded to enough to make sure that would happen. The great mystery of faith, the cause for our rejoicing amid suffering, and any of the priests can tell you too, or any of your friends who may have had to do an emergency baptism. It's a moment of peace. There's an eye in the hurricane at that moment. especially too after the confirmation, after the person is confirmed on their deathbed, there's an eye in the hurricane where the light of God opens up amidst the storm of suffering and death and sorrow and sheds that light and peace and calm not only into the heart of the sick individual and the soul and their body, but also into the family and the staff too. It's palpable. It's in the air. That's grace. Grace acting on our human nature. Grace fulfilling us to be what God desires all men and women to be, His adoptive sons and daughters. So I look forward to meeting that man one day in heaven and hearing his story and hearing how God brought him to that moment through his sufferings and his trials and tribulations, and to hear about now his joy, the joy that he is receiving that we hope one day to have too. And then I'll give him a bill.